to time that just about right. I was going to start getting into another topic, but we're too close to 7:30, so I'm gonna wrap it up there. Actually, I got a couple of minutes, and I haven't opened it up to questions yet because of the time factor. So, are there any questions about what we discussed tonight or what I taught tonight? Okay, we're about halfway through the study on the witnesses. I hope that doesn't come as a shock to some of you. I don't want to spend too much time up here talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses, but after tonight I figure there'd be two more meetings, which would make a total of six, to cover all the material. If that's too long, just let me know, and we can try to make an adjustment, okay? Trying to consolidate this material, and I still end up with six lessons. What can I say? I can go on and on and on. But what we're going to start off talking about tonight with the witnesses is the name Jehovah. A lot of people don't realize the biblical connection with the name Jehovah. As a matter of fact, I heard two people speaking about Jehovah's Witnesses. They stated, one stated to the other, well, they don't even worship God. They worship some man in Brooklyn, New York named Jehovah. And of course, in principle, they were half right. But the name Jehovah actually does have a biblical foundation. And that's what we'll look at first. Jehovah is actually the angelicized misrendering of the Hebrew tetragrammaton, which is YHWH. You've probably seen it around in the Hebrew letters. And when you add vowels to that, you get Yahweh. And you might be familiar with hearing the word Yahweh. And this tetragrammaton, as it appears in the Old Testament, can be appropriately translated Yahweh or Jehovah, though most scholars choose to translate it Lord, and that really gives it the meaning that it has. Unfortunately, the witnesses have gone beyond translating YHWH as Jehovah, which would be the only appropriate point at which to translate into Jehovah in the Bible, and they have actually gone on and used the name Jehovah 237 times in the New Testament to translate the Greek word kurios, which is Lord, thereby giving it a whole new perspective as they read scriptures to you from their New World Translation. And that's a good point to keep in mind. But as their Bible is permeated with the name Jehovah, they stress very much so the importance of knowing God's true name, Jehovah, and that being a sign of a real relationship with the Lord, an essential manifestation of such. In other words, if you didn't know that God's name is Jehovah, you must be on the wrong track. They like to use the King James Version when they're speaking to people that have a Bible available, because generally the King James is around. It's a popular Bible. And it's an old Bible, and we have a lot of respect for the King James Version. And there are four points in the King James Version where the tetragrammaton has been translated into Jehovah. And that's at Psalms 83:18, Exodus 6:3, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, and Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. And for the studied witness, you can be real quick to point to those scriptures if you have a King James in your hand. In doing so, many people that aren't aware of the biblical connection to the name Jehovah become impressed with their knowledge of that name in their Bible. And from there, they're able to build on the credulity that they've got a foothold on with this person to point out that since they knew Jehovah was the name of God, in this person's King James Version, when this person had no concept of that, that they better best pay attention to the rest of what they have to say concerning Jehovah. So it's good to have that in mind about the name Jehovah and where it will occur in a translation. But they like to take this point of the name and really stress it because of the fact that they're called Jehovah's Witnesses. For example, if you ever go to a Kingdom Hall, more than likely you will see over the stage the scripture Isaiah chapter 43 verse 10. Now it reads completely different in your King James or your NIV or your American Standard or whatever you have, but in the New World Translation, it basically says, "You are my witnesses," is the utterance of Jehovah. And they like to point at that verse to say, you see, we're Jehovah's Witnesses, and this is what Jehovah stated his people would be called. And that can be a very impressive point with some people. But I think it's important to point out that they weren't actually called Jehovah's Witnesses until the Columbus, Ohio Convention in 1931. The reason they resolved to call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses was predominantly due to the fact they wanted to be disassociated from other Russell splinter groups that were called Russellites, just as they were up to that point. It's ironic today that they'll point to certain groups that are named after men, like the Mennonites, for example, named after a man named Menno, to point out how these are on the wrong track because they actually take their name from a man. Yet that's exactly what they started off with themselves, being called Russellites. And the emphasis they put on their name, Jehovah's Witnesses, doesn't stem from such a noble or worthy reasoning as they would point out today. Now, something else they'll bring up in use of the name Jehovah is how, essentially, you not only have to recognize that is Jehovah's name, but you have to, or that is God's name, but you have to revere God with that name, Jehovah. And they might turn to a scripture like one of their favorites would be Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, to point this out to you. Now, once again, I invite you to turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 3, 15, because it's going to read very different in your Bible. Where they have Jehovah inserted in their New World Translation, the Greek Hebrew Tetragrammaton, again, is there. Your Bible will more than likely say Lord. Now, it does make a very big difference in the emphasis that is stated here. And I'm going to read this to you from the New World Translation to give you the emphasis that they would want you to have here. And see how, if you didn't have your Bible to compare this to, it's really easy to go from this scripture to their point and try to make the impression they want to make. Chapter 3, verse 15, in the New World Translation, says, "Then God said once more to Moses, 'This is what you are to say to the sons of Israel. Jehovah, the God of your forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name to time indefinite, and this is the memorial of me to generation after generation.'" Okay. So, in a nutshell, they're saying, look, if you don't understand that God's name is Jehovah and revere that and use that as God's name, you are basically violating this directive that this is his memorial to time indefinite, from generation to generation. He gives it an almost eternal impact in how you should revere this name Jehovah. But that's not really the point that is found in this scripture. The actual reverence comes actually what you should be revering comes into play in verse 3:14. Now, I'm not going to read that verse from this Bible because I'm going to be using it later for a different point, because they have actually come very close to a mistranslation in it. But I'm going to read it from my NIV. That's Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And this is the verse just prior to what I read. And here we see God saying, well, God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Okay? Now, this is an answer to Moses' question of who are you and what should I tell my Israelite brothers concerning you and who has sent me? And he answers him with this name that is quite descriptive. I am who I am. You tell them, I am has sent you. Okay? And really, that has meaning. That goes beyond the title of Lord. That has meaning. And it really stresses consistency in past, present, and future. It's basically a finite term attempting to express infinite characteristics like omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. And these are qualities that only God has. And he tries to convey this point to Moses, to try to convey it to the Israelites by giving a description of himself in the name, I am. I am who I am. And this is the memorial to the Lord, the time indefinite, generation from generation to generation, that he's actually referring to in verse 15. And so the point they try to make in Exodus chapter 3:15 is really an inappropriate one. But when it's all said and done, all this stress they put on the name Jehovah as God's name, we really have to come back around to what's in a name. And maybe that sounds sacrilegious to some extent, but the point is made by Jesus Christ himself. And as a matter of fact, Jesus made it in Matthew chapter 7. Let me read that to you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 through 23. And here, Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. See, Jesus recognized that there would be plenty of people that would know his name, that would know God's name. Yet that's not what it takes to establish a relationship with God.